You're listening to The Craig Carlisle Show.
104.5 WPJC.
Parker J. Cole Entertainment.
What up, Ms. Parker?
And what up, everybody? It's a Saturday morning.
Good morning, good morning.
It's not even morning. Okay, stop it.
Yes, it is.
It's not. It's morning somewhere.
Somewhere.
Hawaii, okay. Maybe.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Or good evening for some.
¿Qué tal? ¿Cómo estás?
Ah, sí, así, a tú.
I don't, that's it. That's all
okay,
I got.
Okay, that's all I got.
That's all I got for you. 4 years of Spanish.
There you got it.
In
okay.
Middle school.
And that's it.
Yeah,
I know what you said. Yeah. I gave the appropriate answer.
You did. Okay. You did. And hey, you know, we are here finishing week two. Of Catch My Breath, this new series we've been doing. The week two, the title is called Give Influence or Give In. So we've spent a lot of time last week talking about giving influence or giving fluence to what we were doing and who's talking to us and who's really in our ear, whether it be God or the enemy. And so we're going to pick up this week and really finish off on week two. And we're going to go through our study questions. But before we got on air, I know, Joe, you had got a phenomenal revelation from God about what this study really is, what this giving influence or giving fluence or giving in is really all about. Would you share that?
Yes. I mean just seconds. Kind of did a download of me. We were singing the double dutch.
Yeah, the double dutch bus coming down the street. Moving dirty, Basil's gonna shuffle your feet. That's all you get today.
That's all I get. Okay. Yeah. So when he was singing it, as we're, you know, getting ready, it took me back to the actual, it's like an exercise or really a game. And you have two ropes. If you know what double dutch is, it's an amazing sport. And you really need to be talented to stay on beat. And if you are, you can do all kind of different things. So when God downloaded, I'm like, okay, Craig, you need to follow me. Pick up your rope. And he picked up one side of the rope, our imaginary rope. And then he picked up the other side. And I said, when you're doing double dutch, one rope goes in and another rope goes in. And so you're just right, then left. And then you do this at a certain beat in time. And in between that, the person is watching how the ropes are going, and then they jump in the middle. And so the study was, I see this person in the middle of a double dutch, and that's exactly sometimes what our lives are like. Our lives are jumping precisely at the right time, and hopefully your influence or God's influence is keeping you on beat on the right side of the rope, which would be him. Because that enemy's rope is still part of your life as you're jumping in the middle, and keeping that cadence or that beat is important, because if not, and you stop in the middle, the ropes get tangled with you inside. And sometimes that's what our lives look like.
Entangled. And it's funny, I love your analogy, because, and even watching you turn the ropes, imaginary ropes, when you really think about it, double dutch, they turn opposite each other.
Correct.
And that is actually what the devil is. He's in direct opposition to God. And if you're living in a life directly in opposition of God, you're going to have a problem. And your life will become tangled at some point when you're trying to dance between two worlds. I mean, a lot of folks shaking and faking, right?
Correct.
Trying to pretend and trying to play on both sides of that fence.
Right.
That's a tough spot to be.
It is. But if you've watched the sport of double dutch, you can see that they can flip. They do cartwheels to jump in. I mean, so if you kind of look at all the different things that the double dutch does, you can see your life really kind of lining up with how God has purposed your life to be. And so if you stay on cadence, then you're fine. But as soon as you step or you forget what the next move is, which would be outlined in the Word of God, then you'll find that all kinds of things get all tangled up. And you can see where people, they stop and they have to take the rope from around the people's legs or their neck or arms or wherever. But if you're thinking about you being in the middle and that happens to you, where are you at that particular time? Whose influence have you given in to? Because if you were on beat, then the same rope that's still going counterclockwise with you. You're still in victorious cadence. You're still dancing and you're still doing the things that God's called you to do. But when the music stops or you step out of beat or you forget the cadence or the right move that God's outlined in his word, where are you? What's going on?
Yeah, that's awesome. I like that you said that when the music stops, because half the time then is when we really don't know where God is, because we stop listening to God. We stop listening, because, and usually the girls are, it was mostly girls I've seen do double dutch. Yeah, like, a lot of them East Coast
too.
Midwestern.
East Coast, this guy East Coast too. There's teams.
Mm-hmm. Teams, and I, usually the turners are singing a song to help you with the cadence to make sure they're turning on beat, and so that keeps the jumper, or jumpers, with multiple people
right,
trying to jump.
Right, because there'd be three or four people in your.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Trying to do that. And if you don't have that song in your heart,
right.
If you don't have the word hidden in your heart, you can't find the cadence sometime. Yeah. And that's really, we should pull that scripture up here where, you know, hide your word, Lord, I hide your word in my heart so I would not sin against you. So if we don't do that,
correct,
we might actually wind up being like these people we talked about, or we're getting ready to talk about in Romans 8, 28 to 32. We're going to turn to that right now. And we're going to read that because it's a good segue into that. So we're turning to Romans chapter 1, verses 28 to 32. And we're going to be reading out of the Passion Translation. Because you know I'm passionate about the Passion Translation. And there's some cadences in there that are not very clear understandings. But in this particular chapter verse, this one really goes well. So we're going to be reading right here. Romans chapter 1, verses 28 to 32. And because, I'm not going to give the they here. So before we get into the they, Joe, when we were, you know, researching and preparing for today, you make sure that I made clear that the they that's coming in this particular passage of scripture is not a group of specific people by a geographic or by a country or by a family. This is the holistic mankind. It's a male, female, who were being judged in this particular case, be described in this case. So this is who they are. So, and for this reason, okay, and because they were worthless to embrace the true knowledge of God, God gave them, those group of people, mankind, those people who were sinning, over to a worthless mindset to break all of the rules of proper conduct. Their sinful lives became full of every kind of evil, wicked schemes, greed, and cruelty. Their hearts overflow with jealousy, cravings, and with conflict and strife, which drove them into hateful arguments and murder. They are all liars full of hostility. They are gossips who spread malicious slander with inflated egos. They hurl hurtful insults at God. Yet they're nothing more than arrogant boasters. They are rebels against their parents and totally immoral. They're senseless, faithless, ruthless, heartless, and completely merciless. Although they are fully aware of God's law and proper order, and knowing that those who do all these things deserve to die, yet they still go headlong into darkness, encouraging others to do the same and applauding them as they do.
I'm like, that's deep.
Yeah, it's just bananas. And again, this is for repeat offenders. So it's not like all of us are like that. But when you really think about it, how often do we sin? Are we merciless? How often are we, you know?
Frequent flyers.
Lying and gossiping about somebody.
Mistreating people.
Oh my gosh. Just being totally immoral. I mean, yeah, okay, I get it. You know, especially those of you who are single, or even some of those of you who are married out here having sex with someone who's not your spouse, right? Then you're going to show up in church the next morning. Or sometimes the same morning.
Right.
Some of us serving.
Doing your due.
Meeting, greeting, transferring that spirit, singing, songwriting, and preaching, right. Teaching. Some of them are just sitting in the pew, thinking, oh, it's all right. I can just sit here. I'm a sinner. I just came from whatever. And some of us don't even think what we're doing is wrong.
Yep.
That's the scary part. Well, we don't even believe what we're doing is something that God really thinks is a big deal. That is absolutely scary.
Yeah.
That even makes me want to catch my breath.
Right.
You know, when I really think about, gosh, you know, are we really doing something that I don't believe is wrong without any remorse. And these people in this particular passage of scripture didn't have remorse. So we're going to continue to teach and understand that we need to have remorse, that we need to do the things to catch our breath so we can always follow after God's will. We'll be right back after this break with more of The Craig Carlisle Show.
You're listening to My Dad on The Craig Carlisle Show, 104.5 WPJC, Parker J. Cole Entertainment.
Hey everyone, my name is Eric Tomlinson with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate, where we design the sale of your home around you. With our nationwide network of agents, you and your family are at the center of every decision, conversation, and step of the journey to your next home. From hello to congratulations, selling your home with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate is designed to both learn and surpass your expectations. Call me today at 951-970-6727 so we at the Tomlinson Group can begin surpassing your expectations today. We want to work for you.
Does your business need to rank higher on the Google search engine? Do you want everything that your company touches to turn to gold? If you've answered yes to either of those questions, you need to contact Bright Media House. Generating relevant customer leads is critical to increasing sales and growing your business. By figuring out which online sales and social media marketing channel to use and how to use them can be overwhelming, especially when you have a business to run. Digital marketing is something every business owner and marketing manager needs as a part of their strategy. For more information, go to www.brightmediahouse.com or email us at info@brightmediahouse.com.
You're listening to My Dad on The Craig Carlisle Show. Are you listening?
Are you listening?
I'm listening. The question is, are you listening?
Sometimes.
Why aren't you listening all the time?
I don't know.
The show ain't all the time.
And we're right back here with The Craig Carlisle Show. And again, we're finishing up week two of our study here, Catch Our Breath, which is giving influence or giving in. And during our break, of course, this always seems to happen, Joe. I'm going to just put one of these days, we're just going to do a show with no commercials. We're going to apologize to our sponsors before and after and just play our commercial in the front and play at the back and just have one of these open just discussions where the mic is on. We might even have some people online and just have them just talk, and we're going to discuss, and we're going to page turn or a search click online and pull up our digital Bibles and our paper Bibles, those who want paper, plastic, whatever you're going to do, and we're going to have a discussion. Because we were just talking about whether or not this one particular segment, and let's just make it plain so people really understand what's really going on. I've written three chapters and a verse of a new study called Catch My Breath, and I had written it about a year ago, and I just kind of set it aside. So now we're teaching through the parts that I had written, and we're in the part of rewriting of this whole thing and revamping and making sure it's coming out like we're teaching through during these studies. So, you know, when we just got done talking then the first segment, the question in the middle ground when the commercial break was, hey, does this section really go with what we just talked about?
Yeah,
and it does.
It does go. It goes with... we were, like you said, we were just talking about, well, we just talked about double dutch. I'm like, but we talked about the middle ground. And so it leads right into it, almost like a perfect setup. So thanks, God.
Sure.
And so he has where it says the middle ground is the place of the enemy. Is that what it is? It's dealing, there's no middle ground when dealing with the enemy. But when you're looking at the double dutch situation, you are actually in a middle ground. You can keep dancing, but who's your influence to dance for?
But see, where you are, that's like you're actually in the middle, but you're not in the middle ground.
Because
right. Like we were talking about, those ropes correct. Are turning. The Lord, and we talked about this, the song in your heart and the word in your heart and the cadence to keep yourself out of trouble, make sure you don't fall and get tripped and get caught up, like we talked about in the first segment. I love it because those who are in the middle ground, those are the folks that can't keep step.
Right.
Because they have the wrong tune in their heart. They singing something by, okay, I go, now I'm going to use this person's name because it's funny because he's doing a lot of TV right now. You're going to use a song by Drake because Drake because he's all on the Toronto Raptors tail right now because they won one game in the NBA Finals and everybody think they're about to be crowned. But anyway, let's say, you know, your Turner's maybe singing a song by Walter Hawkins.
There you go.
You know, something to save your life or something.
Right.
But you dancing in the middle ground singing something by Drake. Now, how you going to get tripped up and get caught up and be all jacked up in that middle ground?
That's true.
So Okay, so that's going to have to be another chapter two, just the middle ground, because I think there's a difference just even in our conversation, right?
Yes.
That there's a middle ground that puts you in between God and man, God and the enemy, doing wrong.
Right.
But on earth, this is really...
We are the middle ground right now. Earth is the middle ground where God is allowing you to select what your life is going to be. Even though it's all already lined out, you in the middle ground are living your life to glorify God. You can make choices to make that different or anything like that, but you need to make sure that your influence with God is solid. And you can be double dutching. I mean, life may be a double dutch for you, but the cadence and the songs and the things that you're doing while the ropes are going around you in two different directions is what you need to do. So, you know, so sometimes that's just where we are.
So what you're really saying is that it's okay to double dutch and be in that particular middle ground of our example, but you're not being double-minded. So you can double-dutch.
Right. Which he says in his word.
Yeah, but just not be double-minded. Minded.
Right. And that's I think we were given an example of someone being in church and just the night before, just 5 minutes before coming to church, all cleaned up with your Sunday go-to meeting or your after five, whatever you believe. That you can be sitting there and saying, it's okay, I'm in church now, it's all right. And so we kind of jump to, you know, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart.
Do you want me to read that scripture?
Please.
This is Romans 10, verse 9. Again, I think I'm reading from the English Standard Version. Romans 10, 9. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
Okay, you will be saved. Not partly saved or anything, but that you will be saved. And so I think that we have that opportunity to make sure that our influence is correct and our influence is on point, and that our influence means the world to us, because that's exactly what you can give into. You can give into the world and do what everybody else is doing, or you can do what it says in the word of the Lord. And so I think double dutching is a great image builder.
Yeah.
As you are doing what you need to do, but what's your influence? You can still be, you know, on point in the cadence, and all of a sudden maybe it does transfer over to a Drake song. Are you going to go all the way and do everything in the song to the point where it becomes real to you? Or can you appreciate the song and still know that your heart belongs to Christ? And
yeah, that's true.
That I think that is a double dutch all to itself. If you really think about the rope swinging around and around, and you looking at when's a good time to go in, and I'm going to go in now. And once you've gone in, that's when you need to make sure that your heart is where it needs to be, because you can get tripped up.
Because that's a whole image of itself. When you realize that we're sitting on the sideline, not doing anything, not following God, trying to recover from catching our breath from a tragedy, trying to look at watching life go by as these double dutch ropes are going by, wondering, should I even get back into life? Should I follow after God? Should I even do anything? And it's that wondering, and that middle ground in that case is the indecisiveness of what to do, the decision to make, to even try. Oh, I don't want to even try. That's too hard.
Right.
And then
is that a sin now? Is that a sin? Because you're sitting there and you're watching the ropes go round and round and round. And you do see people that enter into the middle of the double dutch. And you're seeing them being successful. They're doing backflips and cartwheels and turning around first one way, then another way. And then, you know, maybe they're on one foot, and then, you know, someone's flying in from another way. And all of a sudden, one, now there's five. You know, the double dutch can be like that. Those teams are successful like that. But if you're sitting on the sideline and you're supposed to be one of the people that joins this middle ground double dutching situation, and you don't because, oh, I don't want to mess them up, or
yeah.
What are you doing? What's your calling? What? I don't know.
Well, then, and I love the analogy, because if we don't try, it's so often the thing of watching people, you know, Devon Franklin's of the world on TV and Instagram and producing, and even the Billy Graham's of the world, and you know, even, you know, Pastor Johnson from, you know, Bethel, people like of all types,
you know, local,
exactly, the local church, national church, we can easily look at them and think, oh, they got it all unlocked, they have arrived. But people don't take a moment to step back and figure, what did it take for Jakes and the rest of these folks to get to where they are, Johnson to get where they are, local people, Hanson to get to where they are? They don't look at where the people were at different ages and stages of life. They just look at the now, and we easily say, oh, I can't do it. I can't be like them. Well, the Lord isn't calling you to be them now. He's calling you to be you now.
Right.
And then you'll be a you then down the road.
Right. And that will, you'll put yourself where everyone sees T.D. Jakes. And he tells a really good story of how he just started off in one little one room church, and things that he couldn't even imagine just start, but he stayed faithful to what he was doing, but he tried, he didn't give up. And there were times where you listen to the story, you're like, but he didn't, he just kept faithful to what he had. And so if you're listening and you are feeling like you're down and it's not working, you know, don't give up. Even if it's just a little bit of what you can do, God can do much with a little.
Yeah, because it's funny, because I know we're talking a lot about going to become a minister, but you don't have to become a minister in this, even in this analogy.
He didn't ask not one person.
Could be a when baker. He said,
yes.
Candlestick maker.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and that's what I think people get missed. Like, I know we had talked a little bit about what I did, and I share with people and they all laugh like, well, how come you never knew you were an artist? I just never knew. That was like unknown to me. I knew I liked things differently, but that's just because I thought it was different. I never knew that I was called. But once I realized I was called, things started to fall into place. Things still fall into place. I have no idea or clue. And so now it's almost like this expectation of people that think like, she's going to get it. Something amazing is going to come out. And it's true, it is, but they don't understand that the process that I maintain for now that I know that I'm called and what I need to do to feed my inner man for me to hopefully introduce Christ via the arts. And that's not the easiest thing in the world, but I have fun because there's so many things that we can do. So be encouraged that if you're still not sure, you're dabbling with something or another, keep dabbling. Keep, if that's where your heart is.
Well, depending on what you're dabbling in. You know what I'm saying? You can't dabble in everything.
No, don't dabble in everything. But the one that gives God glory, and you know that it's something that gives God glory. Yeah.
And I wanted to read something from, when I posted on social media this week, I found it on a Facebook site, community page for called Man of God Daily. And it shows this person on a tightrope holding a balloon, and it looks like a cat following behind him. And it says, sometimes the smallest step in the right direction ends up being the biggest step of your life. Tiptoe if you must, but take the step.
See, that's beautiful. I think just recently I had one of my students that danced that. Called me and asked me these very questions, like, well, how do you know when you've been called? Because I can't seem to shake dance out of wanting to share that and teach others to worship God. I can't shake it. And I said, well, I'm going to tell you this. You need to pray and you need to seek God. And when you hear from him, and you will know when you hear from him, then you need to act and do what he tells you to do. And not second guess, not put your own logic to it, not like, well, that happened because, you know, I was thinking of this and that. Those things don't happen anymore.
It's funny because I had another one of those instances this past week. It was because you were giving me a hard time when I bought this iPad. You were like, the iPad. Well, I knew I was supposed to have bought it in a certain configuration. And so I didn't buy it all the way blown out like I was supposed to. And so I'm working with a new client, and I needed to have the cellular side of it. And I don't have it because I didn't obey the Lord. Lord told me to buy it this way. It didn't have to have all the fancy memory that I got. It just needed to have cellular. And I chose to think I was...
logic.
Yeah, that logic. And I thought, okay, oh, well, you know, obedience is better than sacrifice. I was going to sacrifice and wasn't obedient. So I sacrificed and I saved myself a couple hundred bucks by not doing the cellular portion. Thought I was doing something crazy and buy more memory. But now I need the cellular because that's what I was told to get. And now I'm kicking myself. I'm like, oh, I can't use the tool I really need the way I need it done because it's handicapped. It's hampered now. And so...
He let you buy it, though.
He let me buy it. Because God's, you know, I've heard people say, well, God's a gentleman. And I kind of laugh about that. And I'm like, what do you mean God's a gentleman? But the saying is true. A gentleman is a person who doesn't impose on you. He lets you be who you're going to be and very, very kind and cordial to you. Still tells you the truth in love, but doesn't ever, you know, make himself over the top and angry. But a gentleman will handle his business. Should a fight need to break out, a gentleman will defend himself. But I notice that a gentleman will not start a fight, will intentionally pick a fight. And sometimes I wish the Lord would pick a fight with me and make sure pop me an eyeball when I need to be.
Yep. But sometimes those are hard moments. And that was a double dutch moment right there. There's a very good double dutch example. Yeah. That was double dutching.
Yeah, but I didn't. When the Lord started talking, I thought, does that really go with the words of that song? But it does if I was listening to his song instead of my own song.
Right.
Because there's certain songs, so musically, you know, those who are musically inclined, certain songs you can remix and certain songs you can do and you can take the lyrics off of a certain song and use the same track from some other place. Okay, we do that all the time. But sometimes you make another beat that sounds something similar to something you was listening to or you like to listen to, but it ain't. So the tempo's a little bit different. That cadence a little bit different. So sometimes you get to start dancing to that tune instead of the tune that you were listening to at that moment where the turners are going, like you're saying in this example, and you get tripped up. I got tripped up. And I'm tired of getting tripped up. I don't know about you guys. If you guys like getting tripped up, you keep dancing. You keep falling on your face if you want to. Because I know when I watch people dance and fall in those double dutch, I laugh. Because it's comedy. It's two ropes tied around their feet and face, ankles, arms, and everything. Glasses flying everywhere. And you're all over the ground. You know, rug burning and your stuff getting all cut up and stuff. I don't need no more burns and cuts and scrapes and bumps. I got enough lumps on my head. You know what I'm saying? I don't need any more lumps. So, Lord, we ask you to continue to teach us how to pray. Teach us how to walk and teach us how to go. But you know what? We're going to go to break and we'll be right back.
You're listening to My Dad on the Craig Carlisle Show. 104.5 WPJC.
Who you hire as your realtor matters. You need a realtor who looks out for your best interests and not their own. Marie Clark with Allison James Estates is a full-time realtor, specializing in helping first-time homebuyers in Temecula and the surrounding areas. She is also a ministry leader. Today, why don't you choose Marie Clark to buy or sell your next home? Please call 951-265-6259.
You're listening to My Dad on the Craig Carlisle Show. 104.5 WPJC.
All right, we're back to the Craig Carlisle Show, and we were just laughing during the commercial break then about these where we were going to go next and how we were going to finish and tie things up in the last 12 minutes before Shelty's Comedy Showcase, Comedy Corner comes on. And we were going to do something different, but no, Joe said, no, Lord said, we need to look at the questions.
Yeah.
So
he said that we really need to look at the questions.
Yeah. So we're going to all read the questions because, right. You know, like okay. I said, I want to make sure we press record and came out of break because okay. You get to talking and you know, the Lord start to speak it and then some stuff start happening and the whole room start flying around. I'm like, hey, man, I ain't press record yet. Come on, dog. Come on, man. So anyway, so question number one is, what are you giving influence to in your life?
So when you're looking at that, Craig, Help me, talk me through the basis of that.
So in the first, last week we spoke a lot about giving influence to God or giving influence to the devil.
Okay.
And so, and that just means when you're, it goes back to the analogy we were using with the angel on one shoulder and the devil on another shoulder.
Okay.
So for me, when I hear the Lord speaking to me, it's on my right ear. So I would imagine there being the angel sitting there on my shoulder for the old school analogy, or and the devil be on the left side. Because I would get all the negative stuff come on the left side.
Okay.
You know, I'm negative, I'm bad, I'm fat, I'm overweight, I'm single, I'm a widower, I'm bad. That's all on the left.
Okay.
So, and it makes sense because I'm that little song say, you know, do everything else, take it to the left. So, you know, I'm working it. Now, I know I used to do a lot of song references back in the day and on my other show, but I ain't done song references on this show before.
This is a new day.
So the question really becomes, what are you giving, or who are you guys technically giving influence to in your life? Are you giving influence to God or giving influence to the devil?
Okay. All right. Okay, so they'll take a little minute to chew on.
So what do you think about that in your life? And do you think it's a double dutch moment? Because we all kind of give both. And that's really what the question is.
Basically, it's, I mean, and I'm praising God for giving us the analogy of double dutch, because very clearly this first question leans towards it allows you to figure out which rope in your double dutch are you giving, you know, your cadence or your attention to.
Yeah.
And basically, you know, some people when they sin, they don't have the mindset that when you are in the midst of whatever it is, you are now choosing to serve the enemy. And so your intentions may not be there, but your mindset and what you end up doing clearly says that I do not believe in the word of the Lord, and that this is okay, which is what the enemy would like you to do. Exactly. And I'm guilty of it as well. I'm not going to say that I'm not. There's situations in my life that, you know, I would say, okay, God, this is not the time for you to come right this very minute. And I'll be honest with you, that's exactly what I would say. And so I'm rectifying those situations, and I'm not perfect, but I'm looking to make better choices and listen to the right cadence and to listen to the right way of doing things that's outlined in the word of the Lord. And obedience is better than sacrifice.
Because I know we were talking about in our prep time that God is often thought of to be the spiritual cop.
Yes.
Where
he's not the red light
cop. No. We think so often that I'm going to hell if I get a ticket. So long as I didn't give me a ticket, I'm good. But when what we really need to think of the Lord is one of the those electronic tollways, or those who are on the West Coast who through those toll roads,
right? Uh-huh.
Because those are flagging you whether
now they got it so spiffy that you can pay for your toll, like they have on the 91 here out in California. You can pay for the toll that you're going to use, and they'll give you up to, I think it's like 24 hours to make your payment. Now, you can forget if you want to. They're going to give you that ticket.
Either way.
Either way.
And that's the thing. But people forget that going to hell is a culmination of things.
Mm.
It's not just one individual sin that you did. Now, we have an opportunity all the way up until the last moment you take that last breath to ask for forgiveness. But please believe it. You're a sinner. It's fourth quarter. You don't ask for forgiveness. You're done. It's just the end.
Right.
And you already know who you're giving influence over into your life and giving it over to the devil.
Because you've had that practice.
Being practiced. Next question. Question number two. Make sure we get that. I don't want to lose all of our time. What factors are causing you to give influence to the enemy or influence to God?
So what factors, what situations,
what reasons,
what incidents, what experiences, previous or present, mm-hmm. that would give influence to either the enemy or to God?
Mm-hmm.
That's like a double, that's a double answer right there.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you outline what you feel that you know. It's not even a feeling. It's no emotional attached to it at all. It's a decision. If you're still learning about following after Christ and developing the relationship, not the religion of Christ, he's looking for a relationship with you. And in that relationship, there's certain things that he is asking us to do to keep yourselves pure for him, because he's the ultimate of your life.
You know, what's funny, to jump in with where you are, question came earlier that I just didn't ask. Why is everything else in life so much more important to pleasing and doing well and being successful to, or in the eyes of, except for God? No one really seems to give a rip about being successful in God's eyes. Because if it really mattered, that's the one that should matter too. Who cares if I have 1,000 followers, 1,000,000 followers, a bazillion followers? I was just watching one of the kids' favorite chef on TV, Salt Bae. He just got an award for having, like, I don't know, I'm just guessing, he's like 120 million or 121 million Instagram followers and got an award.
What does that say?
And we're concerned with that being the way. Did someone click and like my post? Someone follow my, is someone commenting? Is it a like? Is it a heart? Is it a sad face? I actually got into some debate with someone as to what a heart meant on a post in Facebook versus a like. And I mean, and to me, I was like, it just means they loved what the post said, or it loved or liked what the post said, or vice versa. That's what the post said. And they argued me all the way down and just violently that it meant how they felt about me personally, or how we feel as about the person that posted. Mm. And I'm like, I don't think I can say I love the
person that posted it.
Especially Man of God Daily. I don't love Man of God Daily in a romantic sense. So I didn't understand what that was all about. It didn't make sense to me. It's all about your mindset and perception. Anyway, I don't want to get off on a tangent. We'll make sure we get to the questions,
because
you said that. Make sure the Lord said we're going to get to these questions.
Yes.
Number three, what keeps you from giving influence over your issues to God?
What keeps you from? So we're looking at those hindrances. Mm-hmm. We're looking at those stumbling blocks, mm-hmm. And that could be anything. And we can always use food as a great. I know we're both guilty right now. We're guilty.
Ooh, why you got to go to that one?
This is really good. It's good. So we share this favorite French restaurant bakery. Oh my gosh, pastry!
Yeah.
And we found them in a farmer's market. Yep. Just walking around, minding our own business. And so we walked by and saw that was what it was. It was visual. We were led astray.
Led astray. It was bamboozled.
We were bamboozled by the presentation of the visual. So we're laughing now, but, you know, sometimes visual or even auditory. So when we look at the five senses that God has given us,
yeah,
they also can be the hindrances that lead us astray.
Sure.
So, just being aware of that, if you know that you're visual, like we saw these pastries, and you know that, you know, eating 20 of them is not a good idea.
No, there's not 20 at a time like I did like 2 weeks ago. But let me hold you 1 second. I want to make sure we get through the questions. In fact, I'm just going to read these next two, and then we'll discuss on our way out, because the next segment is Shell T's Comedy Corner, and I want us to leave and spill into 3 weeks into chapter two.
Oh my gosh.
Because we're good for that one. Question number four, how do you feel after you've given influence to the enemy? So how do you feel after giving influence to the enemy? Question number five, how do you feel when you give influence to God? Share an experience, which is question number six, share an experience when you've wrestled with a weakness or a strong or a situation in your life, and you've lost and you've given in, you've given influence to the enemy. Question number seven, same question, but share an experience when you've wrestled with something, but you gave influence over to God. I mean, should you won, you were successful. And the last question for this particular week is, oh, you know what? I forgot. We were going to stop that. So it's just seven questions. We can't give question number eight, because question number eight actually turned into being another chapter. So chapter four, we're going to go into, I'm sorry, next week is chapter 3. Sorry, my chapter 3. And then this will be chapter 4's topic, and we're dealing with, it'll be called Holy Spirit, Where Are You? So we're going to skip chapter, sorry, question number 8 there. So remember, you're listening to the Craig Carlisle Show. We're going through the finishing back half of chapter 2, or week 2 of our new study called Catch My Breath. This particular chapter is called Give Influence or Give In. We're going to be posting these questions and other posts this week. I didn't do much posting on this week. We're observing the holiday, and I just took some time off, and we're in the moving step process, and that's becoming all-consuming. But if you have any questions, concerns, or prayer requests, things like that, I'll throw the prayer request out there, too. Go ahead and post it on social media. Send us information. If you have my cell phone, you can always text me direct. You can send me Facebook messages. I don't mind Instagram messages. It doesn't matter. If you have questions about anything that we're doing, I have a thank you shout out. There was a person who posted on Instagram on this, saying that the study was very well thought out, very well laid out. So definitely appreciate that shout out. And thank you for listening to the show and giving the feedback. Because the hardest part, I think, with these podcasts and radio shows is that you really wonder, are you making an impact? Is there really anybody out there listening and paying attention to what we're saying? But the bottom line is it doesn't really matter, because the Lord has given us what to do. So all we've got to do is give influence to Him, to the Lord, and pay attention and follow through. If we sit back wondering, like the devil does, wondering, should we get in here? Should we not get in here? Should we try? Should we even? Why even try? Is there anyone listening? That's where the problem comes in. So we know the Lord is going to bless, because the Lord blessed us just from the study, because we got up and did it. Okay, we'll be right back. I got to stop talking. We'll be right back to Shelty's Comedy Corner right after this message.
You're listening to My Dad on the Craig Carlisle Show, 104.5 WPJC, Parker J. Cole Entertainment.
This is Craig Carlisle, the host of the Raising Men Show, and I'm also an executive producer of the independent feature film Restored Me.
For something I didn't do, what type of God is going to watch a man get up on his feet and then kick him right back down and get dragged through the dirt again?
It's a powerful, feel-good dramedy that centers around a young man trying to restore his relationship with his young daughter and her mother.
Talk to him just like you're talking to him.
Where have you been, kid? These people take communion from me. I am their God.
This film speaks to restoring your faith and pushes a bold message of positivity and motivation. The cast includes Gary Owen, Bill Duke, William Lee, Matt Gerald, Richard T. Jones, Malik Yobo, Yancey Arias, and Bo Casper Smart, just to name a few. Restored Me is available on over 100 digital markets, including iTunes, Amazon, and on demand from your local cable provider. Buy it, rent it, either way, I'm asking you to watch it. It'll bless your life.
Hey, this is Bill and Pam Farrow. We want to invite you to listen to The Craig Carlisle Show, because it will strengthen and inspire your life.
Encourage and equip your world.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to The Craig Carlisle Show. And you know what? I shouldn't even say that, because we've already been in the show now 3 segments through, so I don't need to say welcome. I should say welcome to Shelty's Comedy Corner, our favorite segment here on The Craig Carlisle Show. Shelly, I know you're there, right?
I'm here.
And then we were talking off air.
We kind of
laugh and joke before we ever come on air. And you said, as long as you're alive, you said, what, people's lives are in danger sometimes. What did you say?
I said, as long as my life is in danger, everybody else is okay. Because I'm going to make sure of self-preservation. I'm going to take care of me. And if I'm going to stay alive.
That's bananas.
So even if I feel like, you know, I'm going to hurt you, but it'll hurt me, you're going to be okay. That's all I'm saying.
I am not mad at you for that. I am not mad at
you. Yeah, self-preservation is important.
Well, I mean, I don't take care of myself too well. I mean, I'm eating a French pastry at the moment. I don't know how much that's preserving myself or not.
And you know, that's what I'm talking about. I really need to start to kick that into gear when it comes to me eating. Do you know how easy it is to eat a whole bag of vanilla wafers?
By yourself?
And not just like the regular box. Like when you go to like Sam's Club or Costco and they have the box with the 2 bags full. Do you know how fast those babies go? It's it's almost scary. So I need to really kick that into gear when it comes to putting my hands on treats, because I'll pray for myself after. They went so fast, I thought that somebody had a vacuum and inhaled it. I just didn't understand. It was a whole bag. 10 minutes later, I was like, oh my gosh, did I do that? Did I do that?
You sound like Steve Urkel this morning. Did I do that?
And I understand, because you went really. I looked back and I said, seriously? So we have to really begin to preserve ourselves, and we really have to begin to pay attention to the things that are like not good for us, and be vigilant. Let's be vigilant about it. Let's not be adamant. Let's be vigilant. That means that we're like going hard, like we're just like going in and just really just stopping the nonsense, because it's ridiculous. So yes, yeah, so I'm excited. It's graduation season, y'all, and left and right and left, and people are graduating, and I need you guys to keep three things in mind during this graduation season. First thing we got to keep in mind during graduation season is that they only give a certain amount of tickets out. They only got, quit making your niece and nephew feel bad because you didn't get a ticket to the graduation, okay? They get six tickets. It's five people in their house. They can't give a ticket to everybody. Stop giving guilt trips and make it come to the doggone graduation party. That's why they do graduation parties, because everybody can't come to the graduation. If you didn't get picked and you're not on the list, stop calling people. Stop sending mean texts. Stop making your niece and nephew feel bad. You ain't seen them all year anyway. Why would you go to the graduation? Stop it. They get six tickets. They got four brothers and sisters. Just leave them alone.
You know, it's going to be jacked up in my house when my kids graduate. Ain't nobody right. Coming to graduation but my folks. Because they'd be like, no. Mr. Carlisle, you got too many doggone kids and people in your house. You can't even come to the graduation.
Exactly. You can't do it. Stop doing that. People be like, I don't understand why I didn't get it. Because they got three kids. They got three. But you don't want their mama to go. You want to take their mama place. It ain't enough tickets. These kids are going to, they get a Christmas gift in 25 years. They get to graduate. Sit down. No. Number two, graduates, can you please get the phone and get off stage? I'm tired. We know that's why we all here. You don't need to sit up there and do black flips and belly flops and get off the stage. It's 700 people. My kid's last name starts with a T. I need you to hurry up. We have been out here all day. It's hot. You know, I'm sitting in the sun and some metal bleachers. I need you to get on cross that stage. Get your diploma. Dance in the hallway towards your seat. I ain't got time. Get up off the stage. You understand what I'm saying? You want to dance. You want to blacksmith. You got it all planned out, like the wedding dance. Sit down. Get your stuff.
The wedding
down.
Dance? My kids still last night started to see, so we're good.
Yeah, you're good. You're right, like in the front. I'm a tease. I got tease. We are all the way at the end. 500 students that got to graduate after we got 700 speeches. Everybody want to talk, and everybody want to talk for 10 minutes. Ain't the speech supposed to be 3 to 5? It should be 3 to 5. And they don't mean it got to be 5. It can stop at 3. You could do 2.5, and ain't nobody going to care. I need you. Get your stuff. Get up off stage. Dance in the hallway. I don't know what you're going to do, but I'm a T. I'm trying to get up out these bleachers. You hear what I'm saying? You hear what I'm saying?
That's terrible. That's terrible.
Tiptoe, dance, do black flips.
Black flips. Really? Black flips.
I just need you to get off stage. I'm a T. I'd have been here all day. We'd have been at this all night. I've been standing in line trying to find a parking spot at this doggone place. because everybody got six tickets. Look, I'm going to need you. Get them off the stage. My goodness. I'm a tease. Number three. This is pretty serious. Shaquisha, we know Taekwon just graduated. And nobody thought he was going to make it. We know you're extremely excited.
What?
I'm going to start over because some people missed it. Shaquisha, we know Taekwon just graduated. And nobody thought he was going to make it. We understand your excitement. But my baby name come after your baby name.
Wow.
You're still yelling. I can't hear my kid's name being called.
I think she went through the anointing and Shaquisha. Fell out.
Shaquisha, sat down. Woo-hoo! Go, baby! Sat down. Seven people done passed. Your baby already in his seat. You still yelling. Look, sat down.
Named her child after a karate dojo.
Right? We know it was close. We know Taekwon still got his ankle bracelet on, but he made it. It's done. Can I hear my baby name? Can I hear my baby name? I thought my baby name was Taekwon because you were still screaming it, and we seven letters down.
I'm stuck on Taekwon. Down. So I used to take the style from his dad, Taekwondo.
Taekwondo. I'm just like, sit down. Stop. Why are you yelling? You blow horns and you got guns. You shoot guns in the audience. Look, check this out. We get it. It was a long time coming, but a change has come. Shut down. I want to hear my baby now. Oh, you know the name. That's what I'm saying. So, three things. I need people to focus on the three things as we go through this graduation season. Just keep those things in mind and understand it's an important ceremony. It's an important moment that you got to hold on to. But you ain't the only one there. He ain't graduating from a prison. He's graduating from high school. It's 800 people in this graduation, and everybody got six tickets. Look, I need y'all to expeditiously move this process along and quit playing with my life. How about that? Can we get a little bit of that? Can we get a little bit of that?
That's jacked up, Shel. He said she not graduated from a prison.
Well, you know, it's a smaller gathering.
Because, you know, some folks, children need to be graduating from prison because they need to go to class and do their homework.
Yeah, they need to go to They need to get their life together. This is a very monumentous moment that you don't want to miss. And some people gonna miss it because they're just plain stupid. It's not book stupid. You know what I'm saying? Just choices and decisions stupid. So I get it. Taekwon, I'm proud of you. Good job. But I need your mama to sit down. She got an after party over here set up for you anyway. So let's just...
Hey, what about them parents that like to like tailgate at the graduation? They bring all the barbecue and the chicken and everything to the and some eat up in the stands.
Then it took up 25 parking spots. Do you realize I'm one of the six tickets? That's my parking spot. Got lawn chairs now. Obviously.
That is terrible.
Grandma there, she in a wheelchair. Look, Grandma could have FaceTimed the graduation. No, I'm sorry, that was wrong.
Grandma can't hold the phone. Baby, where the phone at? Where my nephew? Where my grandson? I can't see it, baby.
God, the guy was like, stop. You guys are stopped. Let Grandma go to the graduation. They got handicapped seats. Grandma is expected.
baby.
Okay, grandma can go.
Hey, just push it
a little faster,
out.
Please.
Wow. Wow. And you ever push a wheelchair on the grass, though? That's terrible. I can't do that.
Right. But they got, but see, the graduations that I've been to, they like, they expect me. So they got little extra alleyways and elevators that the grandparents and the elderly can get on. You know what I'm saying? They got it set up. Y'all want to take the long route because you want to see what's going on. Grandma, look. You know, miss some stuff, Grandma. But you can't graduate because you get to sit up in the front.
One thing is funny.
Special seats now.
I think it's funny when you see grandma and she all scrunched up like she's smaller than the wheelchair. It's like, look, can we get a bigger wheelchair or some right size for grandma? Because she's tiny.
Right. And throw grandma on your back or something.
Like Yoda and carry him through the swamp.
Right. Just straddle her across your neck, something. Do something. Just move.
Hot. Oh my gosh, so
this kid been getting on my nerves all day long, and it's hot.
Oh my god, so before
I want
we...
the graduation to end so I can give them their luggage.
Oh my gosh, so they don't come back to the house. That's what I got when I graduate. I got luggage.
Yes,
my parents, that was their passive aggressive way to tell me, you're not coming home, take your trash and go.
That's the greatest gift you can give your kid and yourself.
I felt like I was on like Top Chef and Padma had just said, Krang, please pack your stuff and go. I was like,
oh, I would rather mine think about Chopped.
I wish it was that easy. Because I think I still have that luggage out in the garage. Emerald Green Atlantic luggage. They gave me a 27-inch Pullman on the garment bags and a carry-on from that era, even though that size bag nowadays will be a checkable bag.
That is like, yo, bro, yo. Parents need to be more honest. We all want y'all to go. We do.
Oh, yeah. No
we
doubt.
Really do.
Yeah, they did. I didn't get it back then, but I do now. Hey.
I didn't understand what the Amityville Horror was talking about, but I get it now.
Wow. Somebody can't stay. But anyway, we can't even stay here today. We are on our way out of here today. Shell, tell the people where you're going to be and how can we hear you? What's coming next for the Comedy Showcase and Comedy Tour? Let folks know where can they see, because Shell T is funny everywhere on social media, right here on the show. And where are you playing at?
Hey, man. See, I love how you did that, because that's going to be my new tagline. Shell T funny everywhere. So you can find me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Shell T Funny, and also on my website, shelltfunny.com. We are just locking in date after date after date. We just locked in Antioch, California, where we'll be doing the It Just Got Real Comedy Tour on October 19th. We have several cities, several dates that are coming up. So connect, get on the website, find the information in regards to the tour and in regards to the DVD release that's about to go on pre-sale towards the end of this month. I'm super excited. But yeah, Shell T Funny everywhere. And it's C-H-E-L-L-E-T Funny everywhere you go.
That's what I'm talking about, y'all. Again, you've been listening to the Shell T's Comedy Corner right here on the Craig Carlisle Show every Saturday. Now, I know last Saturday we didn't come on right at 12:30. We was a little bit behind. So we was on CP time last week.
But
we're going to make sure we rectify that situation. But you know what? I had to actually correct myself and come before the Lord to come clean. It's like, Lord, I want to make sure we do right, get on air. But Lord's like, well, if you're not ready and the stuff isn't on point, you can't release it. So whether you're one day late, 30 minutes late, it doesn't matter. Release quality content. That's what we want to make sure we have for you right here every Saturday here on Blog Talk Radio, right here on the Parker J. Cole family of entertainment channels and stations. And we'll see you all again next Saturday, 12:30, right here. Love y'all. I hope you've enjoyed our show today. We've had a blast doing it. Make sure you check out the Craig Carlisle Show every Saturday, 3:30 Eastern, 12:30 Pacific, on blogtalkradio.com. If you've missed an episode, check out our archives. You won't want to miss it.
Hey everyone, my name is Eric Tomlinson with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate, where we design the sale of your home around you. With our nationwide network of agents, you and your family are at the center of every decision, conversation, and step of the journey to your next home. From hello to congratulations, selling your home with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate is designed to both learn and surpass your expectations. Call me today at 951-970-6727 so we at the Tomlinson Group can begin surpassing your expectations today. We want to work for you.
How do you avoid pitfalls that will disrupt your life? My office is very good with helping families protecting assets, building wealth, college flexible plans, tax-free retirement, and so much more. I am Jontrice Wells with World Financial Group, licensed to help million-dollar families, businesses, and everyone in between. You can contact me at 951-757-4202. Or email me at jw.nofamilyleftbehind@gmail.com. I'm about your family.
This is Craig Carlisle, the host of the Raising Men Show, and I'm also an executive producer of the independent feature film Restored Me.
I lost everything for something I didn't do. What type of God is going to watch a man get up on his feet and then kick him right back down and get dragged through the dirt again?
It's a powerful, feel-good dramedy that centers around a young man trying to restore his relationship with his young daughter and her mother.
Talk to him just like you're talking to me.
Where have you been, kid? These people take communion from me. I am their God.
This film speaks to restoring your faith and pushes a bold message of positivity and motivation. The cast includes Gary Owen, Bill Duke, William Lee, Matt Gerald, Richard T. Jones, Malik Yoba, Yancey Arias, and Bo Casper Smart, just to name a few. Restored Me is available on over 100 digital markets, including iTunes, Amazon, and on demand from your local cable provider. Buy it, rent it, either way, I'm asking you to watch it. It'll bless your life.